The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, while we are in an atmosphere of disinformation, of lies, of changes, and of bravado and threat. We had the Iranians have been saying there will be a surprise tonight that will be remembered for centuries. Now, what are the chances that this threat is anything? Not much, because we've seen threats like this from Iran before. We've seen North Korea saying to Trump in the first presidency, saying, maybe you'll get a surprise for Christmas. And so, I don't know. If we're talking about what could be something that we remember for centuries, maybe a nuclear attack, a totally destructive nuclear attack of Israel, but we've seen Iran say these things for their basic missile salvos. They are also threatening the use of nuclear weapons. Here, they published a video stroking a little nuclear bomb. Oops. Oh, I forgot the screen layout. Of yesterday is still. Let me try to set up the right screen here. Wrong screen. Okay, that's the right screen. Yesterday I had technical issues during the private show. It wasn't easy, but here we are. So they published this video of some military guy stroking a nuclear bomb. And they tweeted, maybe. Can you imagine? We are in the era where a nuclear threat is a tweet with epic music. Unbelievable. But this could, the video, I don't know if it came from an official voice, it's said to be, but certainly the statement that there would be a surprise tonight that would be remembered for centuries, that comes from official voices in Iran. Now, again, these threats from Iran can refer to anything, including maybe the use of a new missile that's just faster, or maybe just a salvo of their basic missiles. Rudy Lassid says, is that against Twitter's TOS? Well, that is the big problem, which is this is actual violence. And TOS typically are designed to go after not non-violence, after speech, after ideology. Academic Agent was commenting on the threat. It's a big claim. Iranian state media claims there will be a surprise tonight that the world will remember for centuries. IDF on the side of Israel has confirmed that they are planning a response to tonight's missile salvo. The IDF has identified that missiles were recently launched from Iran toward the territory of the state of Israel. There seems to have been three batches of missiles that some of them have already landed. Some of them are on their way. Still, Rodilasud says, under Twitter's TOS, you can't say the N-word or talk about the Jews, but saying that you possess a nuke and say it would be a shame if something happened, that's perfectly fine. Exactly. So you could literally announce that you are about to kill a million people, a million human beings with a massive nuclear bomb, and you would be within the TOS as long as you're a state actor actually planning to kill. Now, if you're Papa JF in his basement, you can't do this. So we have the Israeli side has published a message in Farsi to speak to the Iranian people, saying people in Sector 18 of Iran, that this place will be targeted for bombing by Israel, and they are saying you should leave this place if you're a civilian. So Israel is starting to warn the Iranian people. And what we have seen for the beginning of this missile salvo is there is some damage being generated. It's very hard to be sure that all of the videos and pictures are authentic, but this is claimed to be from a missile landing in Tel Aviv. Very hard to know if the videos are genuine, because there are, I've seen a lot of videos that have already been proven to be false. The Iranian tonight will be one of the most intense and extensive attack in recent days. Iran is planning a 2,000 missile salvo against multiple occupied regions. Here we see some fire and firemen in Tel Aviv with cars burning. Blimpy supervisor says, when I worked for a cruise company, we were about to launch this huge season in the Middle East, and then Israel ruined it, and the brochures were obsolete. Lol. Okay. So, well, same thing happening with the markets right now. You know, there's all of this uncertainty and the confusion of the messaging on the Trump side. Trump sometimes saying it's between Israel and Iran, basically. And other times, and, you know, placing at the same time, American boats are currently around the strait, just below Iran. If any nation was to post their battleships around the U.S., the way the U.S. does to Iran right now, the U.S. would just blow them up. So it's like the... It's like, yeah, Iran is kind of restrained compared to what the U.S. would do in this situation. I've watched the analysis of Nick Fuentes yesterday. I think that Nick Fuentes is right on target on many things. He says, basically, there is the set of interests at play here is that Israel wants a regime change in Iran. It's not really about the nuclear weapons. Although the nuclear weapons come as a valid argument to kind of not only justify their own aggression of Iran, but also get the U.S. in eventually, because the U.S. appear, according to what Nick Fuentes reports, seem to be the only one who have the bombs that are heavy enough to strike the underground facilities of Iran, because one of the facilities is built within a mountain, and apparently you need repeated bombing with big, big bombs to get to it. I think Nick Fuentes has a proper analysis of all the logistics and interest in play. Basically, Israel is... I mean, it's so cliche. But Israel is trying to make a case of the weapons of mass destruction because they don't like the leader of another country. We've been through this. They didn't like Saddam. Netanyahu goes in front of the American Congress, says you have to neutralize Saddam. If you neutralize Saddam, you will have positive reverberations all across the Middle East. Same thing. Same fucking thing. And then they come up with weapons of mass destruction, a complete lie. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and the Americans followed Netanyahu. So we are still in the same story here, just repeated to Iran instead of Iraq. Iran has a leader that Netanyahu doesn't like. They want to change the leader. They want a Middle East that is aligned with Israel in the way Saudi Arabia is, let's say. And they want to replace the leader, and therefore they have to have an excuse. And this excuse is, again, weapons of mass destruction. There is one hypothesis that has not been explored by Nick, because I think Nick is right. Nick Frontes is right to analyze that most likely outcome is that the U.S. gets in through some campaign of air bombardment, maybe not ground war, and that campaign will either be to decapitate the leadership of Iran from a distance, or and/or to destroy all of the nuclear facilities. Now, can the Iranian leadership be decapitated at a distance without a ground war, without the usual army controlling the country and making sure that elections happen in the right direction that the US or Israel wants? I think it's questionable, because with Syria was weak enough that a little group of revolutionaries were enough to walk into the capital and take it. But a more developed nation like Iran, despite that I call them retarded all the time, they are less retarded than Syria, let me tell you. And it's a big country with, 80 million population at this point. I don't know that you can decide where an 80 million population society had, even if you can decapitate, even if you can kill Khamenei with some remote strike. I don't know that you can control the direction of that society. We'll see. Another hypothesis that I don't see explored by Nick is the possibility that maybe Iran has a nuclear weapon. I don't know that we would know if they had it. I don't know that we would know. And perhaps the moment we will know will be the moment it blows up. It is a possibility that Iran... What they have said today is the strikes that you've seen up to now was for deterrence and practice, basically. And we're now entering the phase of actual destruction. So that's already a sign that Iran has more than what it has shown. And, of course, if you saw the strike from this weekend, it was impressive by Iran standard, but, of course, not very destructive by the standard of other countries. You know, developed countries are capable of bombarding much better than this, but better than what Iran had done in the past. Then there was another day where their missile salvos were completely inefficient, almost no damage. So there was a weakening. What was this weakening tactical? Were they trying different things to see how to best go around the air defenses of Israel, maybe. But now today, it seems that the strike is a little stronger up to now, based on the landings that we've seen. New Guy Prime says, lol, that's why they have guidance systems and are able to hit what they target. You're doing badly, my friend. Tug Nasty Tug was saying, missiles unguided don't do shit. Yeah, but we've seen the product of some guided missiles. We've seen in the videos I've been analyzing yesterday, and as I was retweeting also throughout the weekend, we have seen videos where Iran is capable of striking an identified missile defense system. So they're capable now of neutralizing part of the defenses of Israel. Is that what we will see right now in the current attack? Maybe too. But this hypothesis that what if Iran already has a nuclear weapon? What if they are ready to use it. Or yes, maybe some surprise would be some collaboration with Pakistan. What if they use their nuke? What if there is a couple of... what if we wake up tomorrow morning and there's a few cities in Israel that don't exist anymore, that have been blown up by nuclear bombs? I think it's a possibility that we should study. It's definitely within the space of the possible. Tognasty says, lol, Israel flies the length of Iran unopposed. Yeah, well, that is a meme that we've seen emerge in the last few days. I don't know to which extent it's bullshit. Because, yes, I've seen some Twitter accounts claiming that Iran is flying above Iran, that Israel is flying above Iran unobstructed, so Iran would have no air defense whatsoever or capacity to strike. I've seen Trump claim this even on his Truth Social. But then I saw videos purportedly proving this. And there were formations of planes that were flying back years ago. So the videos were not authentic. I don't know. I don't know if it's true that Iran airspace is completely available to any Western plane flying. I don't know. Blimpy Supervisor says, imagine a city you've never heard of disappearing overnight, and now you never have to learn about it. Hope it doesn't happen, though. Well, and the question is, if Iran can strike strong, let's say they have the nuclear weapon, or let's say they just have so many missiles that they can basically lay ruins onto Israel. What would happen then? I think it's an interesting scenario. And what would happen then? Would there just be an acceptance that it's not worth... It's very rare that there is an acceptance that it's not worth fighting. Most of the time, escalation leads to further escalation. So I'm guessing that if Israel is too destroyed, or if the missiles are too strong, or if a nuclear bomb already exists, I would expect the U.S. to eventually embark to the defense of Israel, which is sad because that's another way in which Israel brings us into this war, not just by striking and provoking Iran, but also by suffering and by potentially losing. The more Israel loses, the more they seem affected by these attacks, the more likely it is that the U.S. will come in. Okay, so we have a pro-Israel guy, Tug Nasty Tug, in the chat. Tug Nasty Tug, are you a Jew? Just be honest. Now, don't tell me you're Catholic and because your father brought you into a church. No, are you a Jew ethnically? Let me know. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the Streamlabs link in the description below. Streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use the dollar button on Rumble. Indonesia Mount Lewotobi, meanwhile, Laki Laki Volcano erupts. That is a high column of smoke. New Guy Prime says, holy shit, now that's a bomb. Yeah, I mean, impressively, nature gives us still the biggest explosions on the earth. Comfy Friend, Real Comfy Friend, has been banned from Twitter, account suspended. Well, F to pay respect to Comfy Friend. I think I remember that he was a good guy. He was interesting. I don't know. Senate officially passes the Genius Act crypto stablecoin bill. So basically a weak stablecoin bill in the US that will that wants to ensure that the that these stable coins are backed by proper reserves. I don't know that it will make anyone safer, because the system itself, all these, you know, all these legal things in which people got caught and ended up losing money, you know, Bernard Madoff, all these Ponzi schemes that ended up being revealed by the 2008 financial crisis or other things. It's like the government really just puts rules in place, but they are not really willing to guarantee that your money is safe. Blimpy Supervisor says Fort Knox audit never happened. Yeah, we were talking recently about Trump, you know, speaking strong, saying, don't you paint the gold, don't you paint false lingots of gold. We're going to go check all of the gold. Never happened. Another regular reminder of how much social media companies have killed linking out. This is the composition of my traffic to yesterday's Substack post. So he has a Substack, and 94% of the incoming traffic is from email. 4% is internal to Substack, and direct links from the outside is all less. Each item is less than 1%. The internet has changed, because this was a fundamental aspect of the internet. HTML. HTML, hypertext markup language, which was, I mean, you can see it here. These little blue underlined thing that it gives you more. Hypertext. So there's more than text. You can click on it. That's the root of the interactivity on the internet. The fact that you can click on text. And usually it was an external link. It would lead you to someplace else. But social media has been losing. Social media has been kind of on the fence, where the more we use these links, the more we lose our customers. And we, of course, the more money we make, if we're Facebook, if we're X, the way we make money is by keeping people on our platform the longest possible, so they consume the most ads possible, or the most whatever we have to give them possible. So this created a movement against the hypertext, against the external links, and ultimately it led to these empires of internal rewarding. Like, you can spend hours on X and not get tired. You're gonna keep rolling the feed up. You're gonna keep digging for more stimulating news, or what's the next news, or what is the surprise that Israel that Iran has announced. But there's a cost to this, of course. It's that the web is not a web anymore. The whole idea, every word that describes the web, internet, World Wide Web, HTML, hypertext, all of this was an idea of interconnectedness that has been more dumped into the algorithm these days. And now the algorithm takes charge of everything. And it's like the algorithm tells you, don't think about it. Don't browse. Don't go out there. Stay here, and I'm going to deliver what you need. It is grave that we are in this situation, because we're losing an aspect, a very important aspect of the internet. I mean, young people don't even start their websites anymore. Young people, they open up a page on an existing social media. But my experience of the internet is you were starting your website. You were programming some HTML, some PHP, and you were having your little part of the cyberspace. Someone has sent me a question saying, hey, JF, why is it that this person has been genetically identified as 97% Eastern European, only 0.4% Chinese, and yet she looks more than half Chinese, more than half Asian. My answer to you is, wait a second. Wait a fucking second. I don't think that your characterization is correct. You can see much Asianness in her, but you can also see, you can change your way of looking at it, and you can concentrate on her feature, and you can see really a white Eastern European. So let's not forget anyways that within the Russian territory, there are a lot of traditional people that are Asian, and they are Asian looking, and they have Asian genes. So let's not forget that if, let's say that's Ukraine right here. If you look here inside Russia, there are ancestral people there that literally just look Chinese. They barely look white. They look Chinese. So never forget that when you get 23andMe to tell you, well, you come from this region in Poland or Ukraine, that doesn't mean that these genes are white. It means they are associated with this territory of origin at some point in time back in the past. And there are traditional populations of Asian-looking people throughout the history of Russia, throughout the history of Eastern Europe. Reclaimed Man says the Kalmyks. I guess that's one example. I don't know them, but okay. That's the first thing I would like to note. The second thing is there is heavy admixture with between the Asians and the various peoples on the Russian and Ukrainian territory. And you can see it. Just look at a picture of Vladimir Putin. People have laughed at me when I said this, but I'm real when I say this. Vladimir Putin has a Chinese-looking face inside. You can see, of course, that he's white, but look at his feature. You will see the Asian-ness of it. And in fact, technically, Russia is part of what we call the Eurasian continent and is literally a section of Asia to an extent. It's just that we tend to think of Russia as a Eastern European power from our perspective, but they've had a lot of intermixing with the Asian populations. So in the end, she's not just 0.4% Chinese. She has genes of 33 region in the Ukraine-Russian area, and there are traditional people in these areas that literally look Chinese. Second thing, she doesn't look that much Chinese. I wouldn't say that she looks that much Asian. It may be the way she arranges her hair and everything, but in general, I'm not surprised by this observation. I don't think it matters. And yes, people have commented she is 2.3% Ashkenazi Jewish. Does that come and play with all of this? I don't know. But in the end, yes. Mongolians and Russians mix a lot, as Rodita said. Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. Iran's top general tells Israelis, Leave Tel Aviv and Haifa now. Iran's chief of staff has issued a direct warning to civilians in Tel Aviv and Haifa, calling on them to evacuate immediately. So that's in response. Of course, it's Iran trying to mirror what Donald Trump has been doing. Donald Trump said, leave Tehran if you're a civilian. Trying to induce some fear. It's bizarre, this strategy of Donald Trump, because, well, are you in this war or not? Because today Donald Trump tweeted and posted on Truth Social, unconditional surrender. Generally, the idea of a surrender is when you're in a war. So what is he saying? Iran has to surrender to U.S. demands? Iran has to surrender to Israel? And what is surrendering in this context here? Maybe Iran already has a nuclear weapon. What would be a surrender? Would they have to surrender their nuclear weapon? They would have to stop all enrichment of uranium for civilian purposes. Ruth Sternwood says Trump has unconditionally surrendered to them as a condition of his employment. Ah, maybe that was Donald Trump announcing his own surrender. But unconditional surrender. And why would you say unconditional surrender when you are still trying to get a deal? The very idea of a deal is opposite to a surrender, an unconditional surrender, because a deal involves something that they would get that's positive. Like the last time we had Iran step away from enrichment, they had a compensation of something like $1.7 billion from Obama. That's a deal. That's not unconditional. There's a condition. We're going to get $1.7 billion. Now, Trump is trying to get them to abandon their sovereign right to enrich uranium, even for electricity generation. And unconditionally, that is for no compensation whatsoever. Tug Nasty Tug says, I read your phenotype book. What a load of tripe. Okay, this Jew in the chat is starting to piss me off. Tug Nasty Tug. Do I discuss with him or do I block him? He didn't even care about saying the actual title of my book, The Revolutionary Phenotype. He said your book, your phenotype book. All right. I'm going to block him and ban him. I'm not discussing with him. I'm going to use the nuclear option immediately and put him in unconditional surrender. Now, if you want me to unblock you one day, you send me an email explaining what is wrong with my theory. What is wrong with the theory of phenotypic revolution? But until then, you are eradicated from my chat. I cannot expose my brain to your wickedness and your inability to argue, because it would be punitive for me. It would make me less intelligent to speak with you, because clearly, if you had an argument, you would have laid it out. You wouldn't have said, "Oh, your phenotype book is tripe." You would have explained you're wrong because you could hurt me so much more if you said, JF, on page 27, you're wrong. That is the truth. You said this thing. That is a lie. You could hurt me so much that way. But telling me just your phenotype book is tripe. Now, that's too broad. You haven't shown me that you're intelligent enough to be heard. Chief of Staff of the Iranian Armed Forces, we warned the resident of Israel, Tel Aviv, and Haifa to leave these areas.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Durud mi ferestim be arvah mutahhar shuhada. Regime sahyuni dar.
All right, well, we won't listen to someone speaking this language. All U.S. Navy ships left the military base in Bahrain and entered the Persian Gulf. I mean, look at our position with respect to Iran. USS Truxton, USS Carl Vinson, USS Wayne E. Mayer. We are in such position to mess with Iran. We are not showing respect to a sovereign nation. And that is sad. Nick Fuentes had a funny interaction on InfoWars with another guy like Doug Nasty.
I've listened to you for a long time. I'm a dual citizen. I grew up in Tyler, Texas. So my mom is Israeli, Roman Catholic, and I live in Nazareth.
Israeli, Roman Catholic, dual citizen.
I'm currently on active duty, and I'm going to tell you, I used to have the views that you guys have. America first. You know, don't get involved in stuff with Israel until I came over here and lived here with my family and fought Hezbollah and fought Hamas and saw how much these Muslims want to destroy not just Israelis. They want to destroy everybody that is not their religion. They're truly possessed. These people want to murder children, and you get a whole new perspective when you've lived in Israel as long, which I've lived here 12 years now. And I'm currently up on the Golan Heights fighting for my country. And also, Alex, I'm not a Jew. I'm Roman Catholic. I just wanted to say that.
Okay, so now I understand there's a lot of Christians that have gone, just like you got foreign fighters in Ukraine on both sides, you know, North Koreans, you name it. Nick, you want to respond to Mike and Israel?
That guy's definitely a Jew. And I mean, look, this line about, all, you know, it's always they're killing children. They want to destroy everybody else. They accuse everybody else of what they themselves are guilty. Who's killing children in Gaza? Talking about we want to wipe out everyone that isn't our religion.
I'm not disagreeing with you on the overall issue, but there are a lot of Christians that go over and join Israel. How do you know this guy's Jewish?
He just sounds Jewish, and Catholics don't. Protestants might go and do that, but not.
It's all in what he stated. He said, I'm Roman Catholic. My father is Roman Catholic. My mother is Israeli Roman Catholic. Okay, so your mother is Jewish. Your father may be Jewish. You guys go to the Roman Catholic Church once in a while, maybe every Sunday. But you're Jewish. That's what makes you a dual citizen. That's why you're in Israel right now. Your mom had a right of return as a Jewish Israeli. And that's why you're currently fighting in the front line of a war in which you're receiving Israeli propaganda about your enemy. That is what's happening. We're here for Kristi Noem, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Kristi Noem has been rushed to the hospital in Washington, D.C. When we just had this as news, people were starting to speculate. Is this poisoning? She is in charge, you know, of Homeland Security. That's a mix of intelligence and immigration responsibilities. Was she poisoned? Was she targeted? Turns out it was an allergic reaction, and she is currently okay. So Kristi Noem is okay. It doesn't seem like a targeted attack, unless, you know, maybe you can have a allergy terrorism, maybe you could call it, like you attack an official of another nation, but instead of attacking with like plutonium or some radioactive substance that kills them, you attack with peanut butter because you know that they're allergic to peanut butter. Now, Richard Spencer said what I found to be a joke at first. I thought it was a joke. He said Botox overdose. But when you think about it, Kristi Noem, of course, is an old woman who is putting a lot of energy into looking good, still despite being old, and it's entirely possible that she did an allergic reaction to Botox, because there are many of these that exist. people just they have Botox in them, and then after years their body starts reacting against it. So it's entirely possible. I thought it was a joke at first, but now I think, hey, maybe, yeah, it's botulism poisoning. And maybe it's what happened here. An allergic reaction, autoimmune reaction to the botulic substance. Iran prepares to hit regional bases with missiles if Trump joins the war. So, of course, up to now, we have no sign that Trump will join the war, except that the boats are ready, everyone seems ready. It seems that we're all in position to strike Iran. Iranian missiles rained down in the vicinity of the Mossad HQ. That's not from the current missile salvo, but that's earlier, maybe... that's an earlier video, I think. So I don't know the source of this video. It could be a lie, could be from another war, who knows. Professor Marandi of Iran totally wrecks Piers Morgan on the West, and the way in which we tend to look at Iran, and you know, this whole propaganda, that it's fascinating how it's intertwined with war propaganda. But this idea that the other side is bad with women, it's something that we've seen with Putin a lot, you know, this whole idea that, oh, Russia is not a place of liberty. Russia is an autocratic male regime, basically. And we've seen it with the Muslim world also. Anytime we're at war, there's this claim that, oh, yeah, these girls aren't going to school and these women aren't let to develop into career women.
And you advocate the devil.
It sounds like a guy who is trying to dictate to women how they should dress, how they should behave. Do you understand that in the West, we look at that as reprehensible behavior?
No, in the West, you objectify women, you commodify women, and you sexualize women, and you have Epsteins and many Epsteins who control.
Well, we give women the freedom to dress how they wish. Why would you decline them that freedom?
In Iran, we have women pilots. We have women scientists. Mm-hmm. My boss at the University of Tehran, the dean of my faculty is a woman. For the 21 years that I've been an academic at the University of Tehran, 17 and a half of those years, the dean of my faculty was one woman or another. Don't misrepresent Iran. It doesn't work anymore, Pierce. Your Western empire is on the decline. The whole of the global South is witnessing the crimes that are being carried out by your regimes. And your declining regimes are now despised by your own people. You're crushing people, students who are protesting genocide. You're not even crushing students who are protesting your own government for something that they're doing at home. You're crushing students for protesting genocide in another country. But you can't tolerate that. And your media is controlled by a group of rich people. They control the narrative, and you call that a democracy. Your choice is either Hillary Clinton or Biden or Trump. And then when that decision is made, the whole of Europe, Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand fall in line as good soldiers. You don't have democracy. And
yeah, this guy is quite solid. It's fun that there are English-speaking Iranians that we can understand well enough, that they know enough about our society to be critical of it. But absolutely. The Muslim view of what we do with Western women is that we are basically building them into circus creatures of sorts, sexual creature, and that the fate of a woman in a Muslim nation, although you might say it's less freedom, it is ultimately a more decent life to have a family. And to not have to display your curves at all time, to try to elevate yourself into the social ladder. of business, of dating, of all this crap. Iranian chief of staff, the operations carried out so far were a warning to deter, and punitive operations will be carried out soon. So that is a signal that Iran hasn't even begun yet. That's interesting. But it's still just words. If they have a capacity to lay massive ruin onto Israel, I would like to see it. Do you think the U.S. military should get involved in the conflict between Israel and Iran? Currently polling at no for 60%. 60% don't want U.S. involvement, and 24% are not sure, and only 16% are for involvement of the U.S. in this war. So we are really... We are faced with a lack of popularity for this war. Definitely, these numbers are as high as they've ever been for any war. We got into wars on the basis of a 50% disagreement, a 40% disagreement, but now we're at 60% disagreement. Really, people don't want a war with Iran in general. Trump has not given authorization for Iranian regime change. There was a post going around that said that President Trump has quietly and privately authorized the plan for regime change in Iran. This has not been confirmed by the White House or any other legitimate source. So, Ra's alert here being called out for false information. It's very important to report actual information of actual developments, because that kind of thing can be a play by people who are warmongering. Sometimes they want to prepare the minds to an idea. They know the idea is not popular, but they want to have some false social media tweets that do like that thing has already happened. So it prepares the mind to say, oh well, hasn't this already happened? And eventually you get a population to accept more things that they would naturally, instinctively reject.
How much blue cheese can you buy for this amount?
Well, Vlad, thank you very much for the donation. And in fact, you have donated to Streamlabs, which is my favorite platform for super chats. $18 will get you some good amount of blue cheese. Now, there's no way I'm going to spend your $18 on blue cheese, because I still have my wheel of Bleu Benedictine and it doesn't seem to be, doesn't look like I'm going to go through it very fast. So I have blue cheese for a year, maybe. And I'm eating a lot of it, in the sense that it's a main feature of my everyday. It's my breakfast, basically. It's my breakfast to eat blue cheese. But I'll keep your money for something even more crucial. Maybe I'll go buy a chainsaw tomorrow, because I'd like to secure my optics fiber cable, because I'm seeing a tree. Clearly, the cable is safe still, but I imagine years down the line, the tree will grow around. I'd rather cut the branches of the tree that are headed toward the optics cable, because, you know, the internet is my livelihood. I cannot afford no optics cable. Now we're seeing the full propaganda of the pro-Israeli voices on the internet. They're so pathetic. It strikes me how pathetic they are when we are in this situation where really no one wants their war. 60% of people don't want that war. 24% are like, I'm not sure. And look at the kind of fucking crap they pull. Has anyone considered the possibility that America has miraculously survived so many close calls over the centuries? Is that our purpose is to defend Israel? If we quit Israel, I believe God may quit us. And I'm not prepared to take that chance. Bro, absolutely dirty propaganda crap. They've been doing this every war, but there's always a specialized form of argument that develops, which is trying to tie the engagement in that war as some form of biblical obligation. And there's no biblical obligation to be massive assholes to all developing societies of the world. That's bullshit. Laura Loomer says, America first is whatever President Trump says it is. He created this movement. People who have been MAGA since day one would understand this if they have been truly with Trump since day one. But as I have been saying for years, most people haven't been with Trump since day one. Well, did Trump really create America first? Because Nick Fuentes' podcast was called America First, I believe, before the Trump campaign. And in fact, he was... There were times where he was wondering whether are we going to accept Trump in the MAGA movement or not. So I don't think that Trump is the originator of America First. In fact, Nick Fuentes, hasn't he taken the terms America First from some classical conservative like Buchanan or something? I believe someone had used these terms in the 90s in their books. I don't remember exactly who that was. People are quoting Charles Lindbergh, F.R. Coughlin. It was Charles Lindbergh. Okay, Charles Lindbergh. So, yes. Anyways, it doesn't matter because no one is MAGA. The people currently that are rooting for the war and that are pushing the kind of biblical propaganda that Bill Mitchell is pushing, they are not MAGA in any meaningful sense. They are not America first. They are really along for the ride to try to influence away from a national preference for America itself. So don't trust them. And as a last news item, three of the largest six VPNs are owned by an Israeli company founded and headed by former Israeli spies. Bro. Yes, be very careful with these VPNs. I tried one of these paying VPN I was extremely worried to see that when I was on the VPN visiting a website, there were injections of code in my website. They were putting ads in the HTML code. And then I took another browser in which I wasn't connected to the VPN, and these injections of codes weren't there. And these injections of code were not on specific website. They were able to do it on all websites. I even tried a piece of HTML that I had coded, and the VPN was adding publicities to it. So be very careful and don't trust these companies. There is a secure way to have a VPN where you have a server somewhere that is stable. You create your own VPN system in which you tunnel your traffic. But yeah, the normal VPN, like at $3 a month, I'm sure that they drop you under the bus easy. And in fact, I'm sure they use this information because they see whatever you're doing. And I'm sure this information has some value. Be careful with VPNs, although VPNs are an interesting technology. The use of them and the trustability of the companies involved sometimes is absolutely questionable. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. I was extremely tired tonight, so can't do a long show, can't perform very well, can't be super funny, but I will come back with full energy. I've just been waking very early today and started doing work outside. Edge trimming bushes that were growing too fast, that were taking over too much space. But I'm headed to sleep now, and hopefully I'm full of energy tomorrow. Bye-bye. much love, and support the show using the Patreon link and the Subscribestar link in the description below.